BHH Productions presents KB Cabaret, an original variety show, with your host, Bree Harvey.
Hi, folks, and welcome to KB Cabaret. My name is Bree Harvey, head writer and producer of this show. KB Cabaret is a calabaloo of original skits, songs, poetry, and short stories. What's calabaloo, you ask? Magic from a child's creative imagination. I was 5 when I coined that word, and it's been with my family ever since. The settings originate from my hometown, Parlor City. And the stories originate from people
who are a product of fiction. Names, characters, places, and incidents either are products of the author's imagination or are used fictitiously. Any resemblance to actual events, locales, or persons living or dead is entirely coincidental.
Thank you, Kate. That, folks, obviously, is my lawyer. Starring my friends, the Parlor City Players, Judy McMahon, Kate Murray, Molly Murray, Charles Berman, John Carey, John Montgomery, Bill Murray, and me, your host, Bree Harvey.
Welcome to our town, welcome to Parlor City, where our friends come out to play. When neighbors don't leave, they stay and chat a while. Welcome to our town, to KB Cabaret.
This week on KB Cabaret, we celebrate the season with Christmas-themed music from our own producer, Bree Harvey.
Welcome to our town, to KB Cabaret.
Mornings are a special time for me. My rituals are simple. A good cup of coffee, soft classical music, and a little daily feature in our local newspaper called Advice with Granny Ada.
And now KB Cabaret presents Advice with Granny Ada, Parlor City's cherished advice columnist.
Dear Granny Ada, a few nights ago, I was watching an infomercial on Turbo Weight Busters, a diet program promising to blast off 65.5 pounds in only 6 weeks. I was all excited and ordered the program's package. But now I'm worried. What if I do lose 65.5 pounds? This weight, it's protected me from relationships with men, the heartache of breakups, and extramarital affairs. If I become thin and gorgeous, not only will I have the aforementioned problems, but also I'm going to need to buy new clothes, shoes, and a car to match my hot outer appearance. Right now, I wear leisure suits, Kmart sneakers, and drive a light blue 2001 Ford Taurus. Granny Ada, I can't afford to buy all those things. I already maxed out my credit card buying Turbo Weight Busters. I'm getting so nervous about the new me that I'm eating a quart of Ben and Jerry's monkey chunk just writing this letter. What should I do? Signed, Swaddled with Fat.
Dear Swaddled, how delightful. Ordering a product that promises to make you lose 65.5 pounds in just 6 weeks. My dear, I see no reason for you to get so worked up or worried about this. Aside from losing the money, losing the weight is not likely to happen anyway. Instead, my advice to you would be to see a good counselor. Not for weight loss, dear, but for grandiose delusions. Now, I'm not saying you have the desire to become a queen or anything silly like that. I am saying, however, being worried that you will become too hot is nothing you should be worried about. You need to discover who the real you is. Get out of the kitchen. Find better sneakers and a better attitude. Volunteer and help the old or the blind. They won't care what you look like as long as you give them a helping hand and don't smell bad. Maybe with time you will realize that you are a good person, small, big, or bigger. Stop using your fat as an excuse for safety. There's no protection for stupid, dear. Stupid is what stupid does. Get counseling, volunteer, and try to get your money back from the Turbo Ripoff Company. Thank you for writing, honey, and have a nice day, Granny Ada.
Hey, Muggsy.
Yeah, boss.
Get in here.
You're right there, boss.
Oh, no, Muggsy. Sounds like you're in trouble.
Shut up, Vinny. I don't get in trouble.
Then why does the boss sound so mad?
Maybe he's calling me in because he's mad at you again.
Oh, no. What did I do?
Muggsy, now!
Guess we'll find out soon enough, eh, Vinny? Coming, boss. Yeah, boss?
Close the door, Muggsy. I don't want numbnuts to hear what I got to tell you.
Oh, geez, I don't know, Vinny. Looks like it's pretty bad this time. I don't want to say anything to get you worried, but, you know, it's not looking too good for you right now. What's up, boss?
You know how my wife gets real picky about the gifts I get her for Christmas every year, right?
No. No, boss. I don't know nothing about that. She picky?
Yeah, she's picky. Apparently, she didn't like the horse's head I got her last year.
Huh. Who wouldn't like to get one of those?
I know. That's what I'm saying. Here, I thought it would make up for those blood-stained champagne glasses Vinny brought back from the wedding the year before.
Yeah, those are nice glasses. Yeah, it's too bad the groom had to get whacked before the honeymoon, though.
Yeah, sometimes that's just the way it goes.
Yeah. So, boss, what do you need me for?
I need you to go to the mall today and find me a good Christmas present for my wife.
Sure, boss. No problem.
Good. Now get out of here. And take Vinny with you. But don't tell him nothing, you hear?
Don't worry, boss. He won't know a thing. Come on, Vinny. We're going for a little ride.
Where are we going, Muggsy?
Don't worry about it.
Why? What did the boss say?
Oh, boss says I gotta take you out of the field and whack you.
Oh, no, Muggsy. I didn't do anything. What did I do?
You know what you did. And the boss ain't happy about it, neither.
Oh, I think I know what happened.
You do?
Yeah. I forgot to flush the other day.
That was you? Annie.
Muggsy, you gotta go back in there and tell the boss I won't forget to flush no more. You'll do that for me, won't you, Muggsy? Please?
Too late, Vinny. You should have thought about that before. Besides, I'm thinking it's probably not the first time it happened, is it?
Probably not.
Annie, let's go. I want to get this over with so I can get back and eat lunch before it gets too late.
But Muggsy, I ain't even started my Christmas shopping yet.
Okay, we'll stop at the mall first.
You sure the boss won't get mad about that?
Nah, he'll never know. We keep it just between us, right?
Yeah, just between us. Gee, thanks, Muggsy. And don't you worry, I won't tell no one nothing about it.
Shut up, Vinny. Get in the car. Party! 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 Come on, Maureen. You're always studying. It's time you got out.
I have exams next Wednesday. I can't.
Sure you can. That's next Wednesday, and it's Saturday night.
I know.
Listen, it's the MIT annual frat party next door. The guys are nerds, but they're my friends. They're nice, and they give a great party. And you need to get out from behind this desk.
All right, okay. I'll go if Debbie goes, too. And only for a few hours.
What, is this a package deal?
The three of us or I won't go. Strength in numbers.
Fine. Let's ask Debbie. Okay now, ladies, before we go inside, you need to know the rules.
What are you talking about?
Rules?
Look, the two of you are new at this. I've been to these parties 100 times. I know the shakedown.
So what? It's just a party.
Whatever you do, do not drink from the witch's brew.
Witch's brew?
Witch's brew. The guys at the frat party put dry ice in the punch bowl and add every alcoholic drink imaginable. Later, the time, the more potent it gets. It's now 11 p.m., so the brew must be pretty potent by now.
Hi, Bruce. Thanks for coming.
Who are your friends?
Maureen and Debbie. Maureen, Debbie, Mark.
Hey.
Mark's practically a legend at MIT. He's been an undergrad for 12 years.
Yeah, haven't declared my major yet. Can't decide.
Yeah, an MIT administration can't decide how to kick old Marky boy out.
So, Debbie, right?
Yeah.
What's your sign?
Huh?
My guess is caution, curves ahead. Do you know what's on the menu?
No.
Me and you.
Oh, well. Is that Maureen calling me? I gotta go.
Cool music.
Yeah, but the worst pickup lines ever.
Do you know what one guy said to me?
What, I'm afraid to ask.
I've got Skittles in my mouth. Wanna taste a rainbow?
Oh!
Here's some punch. At least that's good.
Wait, isn't that the witch's brew Bruce warned us about?
Can't be, because it's just really sweet and creamy.
There's sherbet in it.
And colorful. See the pretty little swirls?
Yeah. These are big cups, though.
Yeah, it tastes so good. I figure I'd put them in these and save a few trips.
Good idea.
I see things differently now, you know? This place, it's pretty.
Yeah. Mansionly like.
Is it hot in here?
Yeah. I'm going to the little girl's room. Wanna come?
Yeah, you go ahead.
It's getting late. I better check on the girls.
You're not their babysitter.
I know, but I'm their friend. I sort of feel responsible for them.
Okay, Dad.
Funny. Hey, Debbie, what are you doing?
Where are you?
Right in front of you.
Ooh, I see your feet. Nice shoes.
What are you doing on all fours?
It's easier than standing.
I think it's time to go home. Let's find Maureen.
Okay. Hey, this room is spinning. How'd they do that?
Yep, you drank out of the witch's brew.
You were so wrong about that. It's sweet and tastes so good. Let's get some more.
No, not a good idea. Ah, there's Maureen holding up the wall.
Help me.
Maureen, what are you doing?
I can't move.
Why can't you move?
Because if I move, this wall will fall down.
I see. Why don't we get Mark to hold up the wall?
Good idea.
Mark, man, hold up this wall, will you?
Oh, cool. Is this a new game?
Exactly. Close your eyes and count slowly to 1,000.
Okay. 1, 2, 3.
Atta boy. Come on, girls.
Oh, do I have a headache?
What am I doing on the floor in a sleeping bag?
Rise and shine, girls.
Don't shout like that. Can't you see we've died?
Well, here's a little snake juice to bite the poison out of your system.
What is it?
All I can tell you is it has some anti-witch brew potion and a raw egg in each glass.
Thanks. But remind me never to go to a party like that again.
Yeah, best to stick to your studies. Become a lawyer and sue people like Mark the frat boy.
I'll drink to that.
Me too. Oh, ugh, worst antidote ever.
You got that right.
Hey, Bruce. Thanks for taking care of us. You're the best substitute dad a girl could ever have.
I have claimed to fame that not many women my age write rap songs. I do come from a dysfunctional family, have love for poetry, and am a true theater geek. So writing rap, believe it or not, comes very naturally. This Christmas song called Santa Rap, Dear Santa, is a collaboration between myself and Dave Rice. I wrote the child's part, and he wrote Santa's part. It is about a child who is worried he wasn't quite as good all year as he should have been. His ace in the hole is the fact that he saw Santa kissing Mom under the mistletoe. He promises not to tell Mrs. Claus if... Well, you can guess the rest. Santa Rap Dear Santa is for sale on CD Baby. Okay, I am shamelessly plugging this. However, I am donating part of the proceeds to Make-A-Wish Foundation. I chose this foundation because I believe making someone's dream come true is a beautiful thing. Santa Rap Dear Santa.
I'm taking over Santa in the North Pole. I'm wrapping the presents and I'm getting the presents. How do you like that, Santa? You and all your reindeer go on back to the North Pole.
Damn. Let it hit 'em.
Come on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's rich.
Welcome to Mattress Universe, where your bed is our bed. How can I help you?
Well, we're looking for a mattress.
Wonderful. You've come to the right place. We have over 1,000 mattresses on the premises for you to try. What type of mattress do you have in mind?
Well, I'd like something soft and comfortable.
And I would like something comfortable, but a little more firm.
Good, good. That narrows it down to about 223 adjustable styles. So, what I'm going to do is point out the features while you can lay back, relax, and test each one of them out.
223?
We're going to be here all day. I've got a dentist appointment at 3 o'clock.
Yeah, and I have to mow the lawn or shovel snow or something.
Let me see. Tell you what, I'll show you my top 50 favorites. You still have a great selection and be out of here in time to have your molars filled and your lawn work done. How's that sound?
Fine.
Good, good. Now, this one has the feature of adjustable setting for firmness, adjustable heat control, and a pillow top for additional comfort.
Ooh.
Take off your shoes and try it out.
Okay.
You know, my first ex, come to think of it, all my exes, yelled at me for taking off my shoes. Yeah, my feet stink. I think my third wife divorced me just for that. She said my feet stunk worse than a sewage plant in 105 degrees. Filed for irreconcilable differences.
Yeah, this mattress feels good to me.
I guess, but still feels kind of hard.
Okay, then I may have just a thing. Come with me. Try this one.
Ooh. Oh, yeah, I like this.
This mattress utilizes aerospace technology, created for ultimate comfort for our astronauts. It has the anti-gravitational muscle releasers and remembers who slept on it as far back as 3 years.
Really?
Yeah, I bought this for my 5 daughters. The good Lord help me. Can you imagine having that much female hormones running around the house? Holy mackerel. Yeah, this baby helped me kick out 2 guys and 3 gerbils. Don't ask. From the house? Because of the infrared technology built in this mattress, I saw the unfamiliar indentations and grounded my little girlies for 6 months.
Huh. Well, I like this one, but it's hard to move around in.
Oh, you're an active man in bed, huh? Well, then come this way. This one's a real honey. Same technology as the last, but has a little gyro force to help with the motion, if you know what I mean.
Oh, now this is what I'm talking about. Honey, gotta try this mattress.
Yeah, wish I had this back in 92. Would have saved that marriage. The wife said I was slow on the uptake. She fell asleep before you could say, Bob's your uncle. She left me for Bob, come to think of it. Guess he had this mattress.
I don't know, Dave. I mean, it's okay, but I think I like the second one better.
I think I like this one more.
Now, you two. No need to get in a tizzy over comfort and practicality. This one over here comes with all the bells and whistles of the second mattress, the motion of the third mattress, and has a handy mother-in-law warning device I wish I had during my 4th marriage.
We'll take it.
Good. I'll have Harry here get all the particulars from you to cash out. Gotta run. The missus wants me to go buy a couch today. Got the decorating bug, may the good Lord help me. But I'm going prepared. Yes, sirree. Got my earbuds set to the easy listening tunes of Garth Brooks and some nacho-stuffed beer pretzels in my inside pockets. Hey, don't forget, wash those feet and use some fungus spray. Could be a marriage saver. See ya.
This is a fun tune I wrote for my honey called Happy Times Baby.
So deeply dejected, I cried.
for New Year.
Welcome to the Parlor City Library, ma'am. How can I help you?
I'm returning this book, and it's overdue. I'm sorry. My dear husband passed away last week, and with the arrangements and the funeral, I completely forgot about returning the book. It won't happen again.
I see, ma'am. Let me look up that book, and I'll see what the overdue fine will be. You're 2 days overdue, and this is a special reserve book that many people want to read, so the fine is $35. You can pay that with cash or credit card. No checks, please.
$35? But I have a good excuse. I'm a new widow. I've been coming to this library since I was a child, and I can remember when you used to charge 5 cents a day.
Times have changed, ma'am. Now, how would you like to pay your fine?
Why, I wouldn't like to pay it at all. I think I'll just do business with the bookstore from now on. That book would only cost me $15.95 to purchase.
Ma'am, if you wanted to do business with the bookstore, you shouldn't have come into our library in the first place. If you want to use our free services, then you need to live up to your responsibilities and return the books on time. That's all we ask. Now, cash or credit card.
Don't pressure me, young man. I have no intention of paying $35 for a book that only is 2 days overdue when I had a perfectly good excuse. Is there anyone else here I can speak to?
Well, you can speak to my boss, but I don't really think you want to do that.
Why not?
It's Marion the librarian.
So? Is that supposed to mean something to me?
Marion the librarian is the new library boss in town. She doesn't like overdue books, and she hates people who return overdue books. In fact, she seems to hate everything and everybody having anything to do with this library. So I think you'd be better off dealing with me and just meekly paying your overdue fine like everyone else does.
I will not be intimidated. Bring this Marion the librarian out here, and I'll give her a piece of my mind.
Oh, please don't make me call Marion the librarian out here. She'll yell at me, and she'll yell at you too. I'll tell you what. I'll pay half your overdue fine for you if you agree not to bring Marion the librarian into this.
Sir, you certainly are a sorry excuse for a librarian, not to mention a sorry excuse for a man. Bring Marion the librarian out here at once.
Okay, but I warned you.
This is Larry calling Marion the librarian. There is a customer at the front desk who wants to speak with you. Repeat, Marion the librarian to the front desk.
There. I did it. I hope you're happy. This won't end well.
Young man, why are you putting on that football helmet?
Because she's going to hit me.
Larry! Didn't I tell you I didn't want to be disturbed? I'm very busy figuring out how to spend all the money we're receiving from my new overdue fine system. Why did you disturb me?
Don't hit me, Miss Marion, please. This woman insisted on speaking to you.
I'll deal with her in a minute. First, you and I have a problem to deal with, Larry.
Oh, no, Miss Marion, please. No more problems with you. I'd hate having problems with you.
Larry, I found this book on the wrong shelf. Don't you know the Dewey Decimal System? It's the minimum amount of knowledge I require from all of the library employees.
Of course I know the Dewey Decimal System, Miss Marion. I spent 4 years in college learning it. I'd never place a book on the wrong shelf. I always double-check. It must have been one of the customers.
Don't blame the customers. The buck stops with you, Larry. Now, hand me the paddleboard. Turn around, bend over.
No, Miss Marion, not the paddleboard again.
When will you people understand that I will not tolerate incompetence in my library? Here it comes, Larry. This will hurt me a lot more than it hurts you.
No! Ouch! Stop!
Stop making such a fuss, Larry. Take your punishment like a man. Now get out of here and put that book in its proper place.
Yes, Miss Marion. Whatever you say, Miss Marion.
Now, ma'am, what do you want? What was so crucially important that you had me pulled out of my office when I'm busily occupied trying to make improvements to this dreadful library?
Well, I agree this library is dreadful.
Good. We agree. Anything else?
Yes. I am returning a book that is 2 days overdue because my husband died, and your employee tells me the fine is $35.
Well, cash or credit card?
Neither. I won't pay. I had a perfectly good excuse.
The old, my dearly departed husband, who I miss so much, and I just couldn't stop grieving long enough to return the library's valuable property excuse. Ha! I wish I had $35 for every time I've heard that excuse.
I have heard enough. Good day, Marion the librarian, and good luck trying to get that $35 from me.
Ma'am, I didn't want to have to resort to this measure, but...
What? Oh, a taser?
$35, please.
I am not paying the fine.
Suit yourself.
Oh, no!
Ma'am! Please keep the noise down. This is the library. Larry! Get over here. Search your purse.
Yes, Miss Marion.
Take that ridiculous helmet off.
Yes, Miss Marion. Just as soon as my shift is over.
I wrote Christmas Lullaby with the mindset of mother and child. I have the privilege of experience these important phases in life. In the song, both mother and child have different wishes for Christmas. Yet, when blended together, the wishes really become one. So here is my song for you, my dear audience. Christmas Lullaby.
Rest your head on clouds of dreams that are before you. You on sails through the streams. Christmas Eve is here and children see the stars shine and presents neath trees. For we love to freely fly and sleigh rides through the sky where lands agleam with crisp white snow. Come with me upon the clouds of Christmas dreams, dear, where love's all aglow. All three kings came forth to bless the little newborn with gifts for his birth. Since that day we find that love is all forgiving for all of its worth. Let's sing in harmony with all the girls and boys, for this day is filled with love and joy. Come with me upon the clouds of Christmas dreams, dear, where love's all aglow. Cannot wait to see the presents for me underneath the Christmas tree. Hope you saw the note and get here in time, 'cause now it's Christmas Eve. I dream up high, sailing through the sky. My heart is full of joy, for now it's so near. You know I love you so. Newborn babies born
with presents adorned, the three wise kings knew of his worth. I pray for love and peace and all that it brings to everyone on earth. Let's sing and grow the bliss that we all know. My heart is full of joy, for now it's so near. You know I love you so.
Rest your head on clouds of dreams that are before you. For me. Unsails through the Christmas trees. Christmas Eve is here and children see the stars shine. And now
it's Christmas trees.
For we love to freely fly and sleigh rides through the sky. When lands are gleam with white snow. Come with me upon the clouds of Christmas dreams, dear. When you love is all aglow. Rest your head on clouds of dreams that are before you. On sails through the Christmas trees. Christmas Eve is here and children see the stars shine. And presents beneath trees. For we love to freely fly and sleigh rides through the sky. Where lands agleam with crisp white snow. Come with me upon the clouds of Christmas dreams, dear. Where love's all aglow. For we love to freely fly and sleigh rides through the sky. Where lands agleam with crisp white snow. Come with me upon the clouds of Christmas dreams, dear, where love's all aglow.
Thank you for calling. How can I help you? You're talking to Ace. How can I help you?
Hi, Ace. My name's Carl.
Hey, Carl. Like I said, how can I help you?
My wife's pretty mad at me for not having the house cleaned this past weekend after she got back from her business trip on Monday.
Yeah, so?
Well, she's pissed because the house was a mess.
Okay. What else you got?
Nothing. That's it. She told me she wanted the house cleaned before she got back so she wouldn't have to do it. And I didn't do it.
And that's what you're whining about? Why didn't you just clean the house like she asked? Not like you didn't have the time. You had the whole weekend.
Well, I was going to, but a couple of my buddies came over to watch the game Friday night, and they didn't leave until Monday afternoon when I had to leave to pick up my wife from the airport. By then, I didn't have time to get to it.
By any chance, do you work?
No, not for about 6 months.
Seems to me the least you could have done was clean the house while she was gone. By the way, one of your buddies named Luther?
Yeah, why?
I just got off of the phone with him before you called. Apparently, he never bothered to tell his wife that he was spending the entire weekend at your house.
Yeah, I can see where she'd be upset about that.
She kicked him out, you know.
Well, that sucks.
Yeah, for you.
That's his problem. I'm not the one who got kicked out.
Not yet.
What do you mean?
Luther's on his way over to your place right now to stay.
How do you know he's on his way to my place?
I told him to grab enough things to hold him over for about a month and then head over to your house.
What? My wife hates him!
Huh. Didn't see that one coming.
Man, she's not gonna like this.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure she's gonna be pissed. Wow, this could turn out bad.
Bad? Of course it's gonna be bad. She's gonna kick me out.
Bummer.
How could you do this?
Hold on a second, Carl. We have another caller. Hey, Carl, what's your other buddy's name?
Harold. Why?
Well, 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 what do you know? Looks like I got Harold on line 3 right now. You know, I might have a way out of this for you, so listen up. Here's what we're going to do. First, I'll put Harold on hold. I take it he's not married or has a girlfriend or anything, right?
Right.
Good. Next, you go meet Luther before he gets to your house, and then the two of you start heading over to Harold's place. In the meantime, I'll tell Harold to start straightening up his place right away so it's good to go when you get there.
For what? What do you mean, good to go?
Good to go so you and that other dumbass have a place to stay until your wives let you come home. Oh, and if I were you, I'd call dibs on the couch as soon as you walk to the door, just in case Harold only has a single bed. Anyways, thanks for calling. How can I help you? Hello, and welcome to a brand new episode of The Dead Poetry, where we delve into the minds and inspirations of some of history's most famous poets. I'm your host, Bart. Today's lineup, as usual, all dead. Let's welcome our distinguished and interesting panel of guests, beginning with Mr. Robert Frost.
I'm as glad to be here as the morning dew upon the wistful petals of a brand new flower as it greets the first ray of sunshine that caresses its meniscus form.
Mr. Shel Silverstein.
His welcome ran straight through my ears and out my nose, and now it's fallen down upon my toes. Ouch!
Mr. Edgar Allan Poe.
For whatever it's worth, I'm supposed to be dead and would much rather be doing dead things than this.
And last but not least, Mr. Theodore Geisel, a.k.a. Dr. Seuss.
Thank you, thank you. Thank you, Bart. Thank you from my heart. For I will thank you in a boat. I will thank you with a goat. And I will thank you on a box. I will thank you with a fox. And I will...
Yes, and welcome, gentlemen. Now, since I have all of you here and there's no guarantee you will ever be back, I'd like to skip all the fluff stuff and get straight into the meat and potatoes.
Meat and potatoes, a delicate palate to tease with the earthly flavors of spiced delicacies, heartening deep within the confinements of the human breast. And my soul is as famished as my gut, waiting patiently for the harvest of nature's bounty to provide that food for which the inner voice shall beckon to.
What?
A potato got stuck in my left ear and a piece of meat got stuck in my right. If I pull them both out and cook them up quick, I shan't be hungry tonight.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry. What I meant was...
I wish I were dead if I wasn't already dead. Please kill me and send my body to the morgue.
Will you feed me? Yes, you can. A knife and fork to use, I am, for I will eat it in a boat, and I will eat it...
With a goat! Yeah. We know. Look, folks, it's not about food. Meat and potatoes was just a metaphor to start talking about important things.
Oh,
yeah,
right.
If I can't die, then you're all dead to me.
May I please continue?
Continue soon. Continue now. Continue with a slogging cow. You can continue in a boat. You can continue with
Zeus! Knock it off! No more goats or boats or think twos, damn it!
As my brain begins to ring, I never said a thing about a thing.
I don't care. Do you mind? I just want to ask my question. Please.
Okay.
All right, go ahead.
Thank you. Now, the question is, what do you feel is the most important dilemma facing our world today, and what suggestion would you present to fix it? Let's begin with you, Mr. Frost.
Winding roads, carved out upon the snow-covered hills, sit quietly awaiting the stealthy winds to drift silently by. Forever will we have...
Hold that thought, Robert. I believe we have a caller. So... Hello, and thank you for calling in. Who do we have on the line?
Emily Dickinson.
Emily Dickinson, what a surprise! Good timing. Would you like to chime in on our question?
No, but I do have a question for you.
Oh, why, of course. By all means, ask away.
How come it's always men?
Excuse me?
Why don't you ever have any women on your show? It's kind of stupid, don't you think? What is this, a boys' club? Hey, you still there? Hello? Did I lose you? What? Anyone there? Bart?
Oh, dear. It looks like we've lost our caller. Well, on to the next poet to pick up on the same question.
But I was just in the middle of an answer.
Sorry, Frost. The show's not that long, and we have to go to break soon. I'll come back to you if we have time. Oh, and by the way, Frost, stealthy and silently mean the same thing. Dr. Seuss.
Glognugers.
On second thought, forget it, Seuss. Nobody cares about your boats and goats or your made-up words. Poe, you're up. You got 10 seconds. Go.
The real trouble is, life's too long. young and death doesn't come soon enough. Everyone should die, beginning now. Hung from a gallows and their eyes pecked out by ravens.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
To our listening audience, don't go away, because after the break, we'll be joined by the late, great William Shakespeare.
He's not a poet.
Are you kidding me?
I would not rhyme him in a boat.
Penny! Shut up, or I swear to God I'll turn myself into a raven and personally peck your eyes out so you'll never be able to use that stupid boat of yours again.
Folks, you don't want to miss a single minute of dead poetry. Keep it locked. We'll see you after the break.
Thank you so much for taking me out. This is a real treat.
Oh, it's a treat for us too, Aunt Helen. Isn't that right, Marty?
A treat.
I just love going out.
Well, we hardly see you since we moved to the city.
What city is that, dear?
Patterson.
New Jersey.
Well, that's not right.
I'm sorry?
Allergens in the clergy. I thought they had women who dusted their homes.
What? Oh, no, no, Auntie. Patterson, New Jersey. Not allergens in the clergy.
Well, why would I be in a hurry? We just sat down, dear.
What?
Oh.
Aunt Helen, Mom told me you have new hearing aids.
I'm sorry, dear. I didn't catch that.
New hearing aids?
Oh, yes, and they are wonderful. I can hear everything.
I can see that.
Now I can hear what's going on at the tables next to me.
Really?
Take that nice young woman and her daughter. They're having an argument over living arrangements. Seems the daughter wants boundaries.
You heard that in just a few minutes we've been here?
Yes.
Those two? The ones at the angle from you?
Yes.
The two in that booth.
That's right.
Aunt Helen, those are two men.
No, dear. Mother and daughter.
Two men.
Honey.
What? They're two dudes.
I know, but let it be.
Oh, Harry loves this place.
I know, Auntie. Uncle Harry used to take me here when I was a kid.
We miss him too, Aunt Helen.
Yes.
Hi, welcome to the Pancake House. Can I start you off with coffee? Juice?
Oh, coffee. Sounds good.
Yeah, me too. Aunt Helen?
We'll just share a cup.
You can have your own cup, Aunt Helen.
Oh, dear. Harry and I don't drink that much coffee. Isn't that right, Harry? We'll just share.
Then two coffees?
No, dear, three. I said we'll share.
Yeah, okay. I'll be right back to take your order.
Did you see that?
What?
That man who took our order just took our jelly.
Oh, he's probably filling it. It was half empty.
No, he must be rationing. President Roosevelt said that we have to conserve jelly. I just hope that they have enough maple syrup for our pancakes. Harry loves syrup on his pancakes, don't you, dear?
She thinks we're back in the 1940s.
Well, just humor her.
Here's your coffee. Are we ready to order?
You have syrup for our pancakes, or are you under order to ration?
No, we have syrup.
Oh, good. Then we'll share a stack of blueberry pancake.
Okay. Is that all?
No, we want to order two.
Huh? She said...
Never mind what she said. I'll have the number two special, but no cheese.
And I'll have the number six with extra sauce.
Okay, thank you.
Well, Aunt Helen, how do you like mountaintop assisted living?
I'm sorry, who are you?
What? Aunt Helen, I'm your nephew.
No, you're not. I don't have a nephew because my only brother still goes to high school.
Aunt Helen... Do you know who I am?
Oh, sure I do. You're Marjorie. We worked together in Minsky's Burlesque on the corner of 3rd and State. I can't forget you, Marge, old girl.
Well, this is getting interesting.
Stop putting your nose into other people's business, Shorty. Get your own table before I call the manager over here.
Aunt Helen.
Shh! Did you hear that?
What? Hear what?
That mother-daughter I was telling you about. They're spies. They probably can hear us. We have to go.
But we just ordered our food.
What, dear?
Marty,
dear, you need to behave when out in a restaurant. I thought my brother taught you better than to salivate. Wipe your mouth, dear, and order Harry and me a side of applesauce. Oh, it's so nice to go out once in a while. It's such a treat.
We'll close this week's show with a song I wrote based on a holiday tradition my husband and I have on Christmas Eve. It's called This Is Our Time. Thank you for listening, and see you next week.
Jingle, 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 and a ho, ho, ho. Families and presents galore. Children are sleeping and waiting for old Santa to fly down way from North Pole. I bake all the cookies and set out the milk to nervous Saint Nick for the night. So let's go retire in front of the fire.
Folks, that's all for today's show of KB Cabaret. I want to thank you, our wonderful audience, for tuning in. KB Cabaret could not exist without you. I would also like to thank our hardworking actors and writers, Kate Murray, Judy McMahon, Molly Murray, Charles Berman, John Carey, John Montgomery, and Bill Murray. And I'd like to thank our hard-working sound engineer, Charles Berman, and his assistant, Valentine Monfuega, my musical engineer, Dave Rice, and a special shout-out to Christina Danella, my former music engineer, who is now working on Broadway. KB Cabaret is always looking for original musicians and writers. Inquire at kbcabaret.com. And sponsors, we have a special page just for you at kbcabaret.com. Just go on to the sponsors link and hook up. In Parlor City, there are no goodbyes, only farewells. Until next time, this is Bree Harvey. Have a Calabaloo type of day.
Thank you for coming to stay a while. Thank you for coming to spend some time. We love to have you and share our Parlor City. Come back again now to KB Cabaret.